So as we continue our studies on this path that Simon Peter is being led on, in that point where he was called out of darkness by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, looking at this path that goes between that and all the way out to the point where Peter finally sits down and pens under the inspiration of God his two epistles. And it may take us quite some time to get to those two epistles, because there's a lot of instructions that our Lord is teaching Peter throughout this whole thing. Peter learned the power of God when the miracle of the fish filled the two boats. We were looking at Matthew chapter 10, and we looked at verses 5 through 23 and a brief summary of the whole thing. In verse 5 it said, "These 12 Jesus sent forth." God sends his people out. He provides what they need when he sends them out. And that's what he's in the process of doing in this chapter, chapter 10, is he is providing the apostles, his disciples, what they need to go out into the world and preach the gospel. He says in verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's an extremely important thing for these men to know. That's an important, very important thing, because that's what we're supposed to go out and preach. We're supposed to go out and preach the gospel. How many churches out there in today's world? You know, Bill and I were just sharing with Brother Mike at the services for Lim. They borrowed a church in Lodi, which is a church of the main family. That's where Lim was buried, was in Lodi, because that's where the family plot is. I guess they have a very large family plot there. So we went to a goat barn, and the very first thing this man did was he stood up and he made an invitation. You know, he said, "Thank you, and we're honored," and all that kind of stuff too. Don't let me leave that out. He was very glad to be able to leave, you know, to loan their auditorium and everything to the family of Lim. That was the very first thing he did, was get up there and make an invitation. Come to the Lord. And Bill and I were both talking about it afterwards, how we wanted to set our Bibles aside, and if we hadn't known that Jesse Castan was going to stand up and preach next, we probably would have gotten up and walked out of the place. But as it was, we knew who was coming up next, so we stayed there. But this is what we hear in the churches, is things like that. What men can do. Gospel preachers preach about Christ. Christ and him crucified. That's our only message. It's the same message over and over again. This is the food that came from heaven. This is why Jesus Christ came to this earth, was to be crucified for yours and my sins. Plain and simple as that. Go out, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You who our Lord has shown what your sins are, there's hope. There's hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is sending out his disciples to begin preaching the kingdom of heaven is come. And here in these verses of chapter 10, our Lord gives instructions for all of his sheep to consider. We may not have the ability that the apostles did to do the wonders that they needed, but that was only needed during their time to prove who they were. We don't do that, because all the power of God is right here in his word. This is what saves people. This is what heals people of blindness. Speaking about Christ. When we speak about him to our loved ones, to our family, to our work people, our co-workers, we're speaking about our Lord and Savior. The kingdom of heaven is come in him, and in him alone. In verse 16 we read, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." John Gill wrote this about that. He says, "The serpent is a very sharp-sided, cunning creature and uses various arts and stratagems for its own preservation, and especially of its head. and is so far to be intimidated by the followers of Christ as to make us use of all the proper methods to preserve themselves from the insults and the rage of men, and not to expose themselves to unnecessary dangers. Why go into a goat barn? Why go and argue with a bunch of people who don't want to hear about Christ in the first place? And as much as in them lies, that they should be careful to give no justification of offense, or irritate and provoke them to use them ill, and to avoid all snares and traps that are laid for them, and at the same time maintain innocence and harmlessness as a dove, being free from all wicked and cunning and craftiness, without resentment, malice, or wrath, not meditating or seeking revenge, but meek and humbleness in their deportment. Leading inoffensive lives and proceeding in the course of their calling though liable to many insults and much oppressions. End of quote. If we go out and declare God to be sovereign over everything, which he is, it's interesting, most will agree with you up to a certain point. And they'll say, oh, no, wait a minute. He's sovereign over all the trees. He's sovereign over all the wind. He's sovereign over all this. But I've got my freedom. This is my choice whether I get to choose Christ or not. Don't you take my will away from me. You go out and you preach God's sovereignty and his will over everything, people will reject you. The message was now a message of mercy. Up until this point, Israel, the Jews, it was all about sacrifices. It was all about the things that Christ came and fulfilled. Now the message had changed. The message wasn't looking forward to what was done. It was looking at what would be done and what was going to be done. Christ was there for one purpose. He was there to go to the cross and take all the sins of his people, of his chosen elect, of his loved ones, who he has loved from eternity past, upon himself. He who knew no sin would be made sin, so that those be made righteous in him. The message had changed. It was a message of mercy and message of grace. It was a message of God's mercy in sending his son to be the sinner's substitute. You know, he didn't have to do that, did he? As the creator of everything, couldn't God have just, I knew they were going to do that. Good. That's it. Everybody's gone. Start all over. As God, he could have done that, but that wasn't his purpose at all. You see, because he loved us from the beginning of everything, from eternity past, because of that, all these things had to happen exactly the way they've happened, so that he could be our substitute. We are exactly what we are. Sinners saved by grace. For his purpose to glorify him. And knowing that, we see just a little bit in today's world of how we can praise our Savior. Think about how we're going to do it for eternity. Think about that for a moment. We just do, we give what we have now in praise and love and worship to our Savior. For eternity, it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be glorifying to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The message has changed to God's grace in bringing salvation to his chosen loved ones. In verses 24 and 25, we read, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" How much more shall they call you and I? We must never expect to be treated better or to receive better in this world than our Savior did. If we leave men alone, they will probably leave us alone, most likely. But we dare not leave a million alone, do we? Should we just leave our children alone? Should we just walk away from those that we love? No. I don't take my children and sit them down and preach to them. But they know who my God is. They know that I believe in the sovereign God of all things. Does your family know that you believe in a God who rules all things? We must, as our Savior did, expose man's sin, proclaim God's righteousness in and by Christ and Christ alone, and call sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. If we follow our Master, we will, in the ordinary course of events, experience what he experienced. He was slandered and rejected of those among whom he ministered. Men called him Beelzebub, a devil, a glutton, a winebibber, and a sinner. Why does this man sit with sinners? Because that's what he came to do, was to save those sinners. Few believed his message, so let us not be surprised if we experience the very same thing. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, if the master of the family is likened to Beelzebub — Beelzebub is the fly god of the Philistines. You thought America was the only one who had all kinds of different gods for stuff, huh? No, the Philistines had all kinds of different gods too. They had a fly god called Beelzebub, and named after the prince of demons. By what names will they call us? Doubtless malice will quicken wit, and sarcasm will invent words which pierce as daggers and cut like knives. God was slandered in paradise and Christ on Calvary. How can we hope to escape? Instead of wishing to avoid bearing the cross, let us be content to endure dishonor for our King's sake. Those that we love may look on us with a little dishonor, but remember how they looked upon our Lord. In verse 26 we read, "Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." We must be content to wait for him. He who we serve to vindicate us in the day of judgment. God will bring everything to light in his time. Vengeance belongs to him, saith the Lord. If we are his servants, then he will both vindicate us and avenge our names and our work in the last day. Either here or there, God will vindicate his servants, and he will do it by judgment. Wicked men, under the cover of religion and devotion, may cover their malice and hatred for a time, but it will be revealed at God's appointed time and in God's appointed way, to their everlasting shame. How often have we seen a man who was built up? Well, look at the Catholic Church right now. Catholic Church is huge. You know what Lance was telling me one time? He says the biggest influence in the world is the Catholic Church. You go to the Philippines, that's all about the Catholic Church there. The sovereign grace, those who know the Lord, is just a very small, little, minor group compared to us here in the United States. Baptists, you know, they've got all kinds of those. We've got all kinds of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all kinds of other stuff. You go to the Philippines, all those other groups are very small. Look how much the Catholic Church was built up. And in today's world, what's it full of? What's it full of? A bunch of men who love to have their way with children. Everywhere you turn in today's world, we hear about another one being charged with it. In our God's appointed time, all of those massive religious groups will be dealt with. Let us not worry. Let us not look at them and say to ourselves, how is that growing so big and becoming so popular? In fact, if you're in something that is becoming so popular, you might want to stop and think about where you're at. Our Lord says, they do not look for me. We don't go out and look for our Lord. He comes and finds his people, doesn't he? Turn over to the 37th Psalm, if you would, please. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9, allow me to read. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. The Corinthians were showing their love for the gospel with financial, prayers, all the support a child of God can give to the gospel going out. And Paul was, I thank God, my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which he has given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him. But notice it also says in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you in the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord. God is faithful, by whom ye are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you with me in Psalms 37? Begin reading at verse 1. Fret not thyself. What did our Lord say back in verse 26 of Matthew? Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither at the green herb. No, rather than being worried about those, what do we do? What does it say in verse 3? Trust in the Lord. Our Lord will take care of those things. Our Lord will take care of the wickedness in the world. No, trust in our Lord and be thankful. Be thankful. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yes. Notice it's not telling us to go out and do works. Did you notice that? It's not what we're doing. It's not giving us instruction to go out there and work for the Lord. No, trust in him. That's what the cross is all about. Trusting in what our Lord and Savior has done for us. Taking all of our sins upon himself. Taking them and burying them in the ground. Leaving them behind. Being raised from the dead and sitting on his throne right now. Trust in the Lord, the one who sits on that throne, making intercession for us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine own heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light of thy judgment, as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Well, I said everything I was going to say now just a moment ago. Folks, this is what I love to hear. I love to hear trust in my Savior. We can be so stiff-necked at times, forgetful of what it is that we actually need to trust in, especially with everything right before our face and our very eyes. And we see all this and we think, oh, no, put all that aside. Put it all aside and trust in the Lord. That's our best instructions that we can give anybody. That's our best instructions that we can follow. He says, all things That's his word. All things are for the good to them that are called, to those who love the Lord, to them that are called. That means all things. Everything, including the troubles that we go through in this world. Surgery. Divorce. Anger. Fighting, all those things that we could think. Trust in the Lord. Leave it upon Him. Amen. Amen. Brother Garrett.